This was no ordinary doctor.
My friend, I said you called Dr. Robin. Till night, he'll be there anytime at all. Dr. Robin, Dr. Robin. You're a human of mine. You're too to understand. He does everything he can. Dr. Robin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, July 11th, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Well, for those of you who didn't hear me pop in on John's show today, I have some news regarding Thomas Lacovara. It's unfortunate, or maybe it's fortunate for him, I don't know. But he had his hearing today, the change of plea hearing, and indeed, he pled guilty to one count of felony possession of a firearm. What does that mean? It means that it carries a mandatory 1-year sentence all the way up to a possibility of 10-year sentence. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you what kind of deal that they made. I kind of befriended the court clerk there, and she actually transferred me to another lady who wasn't there, and so I hung up the phone, and she called me back. Which was nice of her. And she said, okay, I've located the information. So the information is guilty of one count, felony possession of a firearm. Sentencing will be October 18th at 9:30 a.m., which I find interesting. That is more than 3 months away. Usually when somebody's convicted of a crime, they do a preliminary pre-crime or a background report on determining what the sentencing will be. And that usually takes no longer than 45 days. So why they would make it 90 days is anybody's guess. I guess it's all a part and parcel to dragging it out as long as they can to keep these guys behind bars. So that being said, you know, the music that I play tonight, Dr. Robert, I want you to substitute the name Fishbein with Robert. Being my friend, I said you call Dr. Fishbein. So I'm going to go into a little bit about the AMA medical establishment and talk about some of these homeopathic doctors and chiropractic doctors that are being found dead, just like the lawyers down in Debbie Wasserman Schultz district. But let me get into this. To most Americans, the concept of nonprofit or 501c3 goes hand in hand with trust. Now, if a person or an agency isn't driven by money, they seem more likely to be trustworthy and unbiased. They should have the public's interest at heart. Or you would think, right? The American Medical Association is a nonprofit agency whose mission is to be an essential part of the professional life of every physician and an essential force for progress in improving the nation's health. Now, according to the AMA's website, it makes you wonder then why the AMA gladly accepts huge sums of advertising fees from tobacco companies who advertise heavily in its flagship journal, JAMA, J-A-M-A, throughout the 20th century. The AMA claims to support progress, but history shows that the AMA has worked diligently to block much in the way of real progress in order to control medicine and shut out the competition. Now, consider for a moment the chiropractic medicine profession, which is categorized as an alternative treatment by most Americans. It involves healing the human body through adjusting the spinal column and other musculoskeletal structures in the body, and more than 60,000 chiropractors are practicing in the United States, and 10,000 students are studying to become doctors of chiropractic medicine, or DCs. It is a legitimate medical practice that often solves medical problems conventional medicine can't. Now, as an agency that proclaims itself to be concerned with improving the nation's health, the AMA has a duty to accept the field of chiropractic medicine as having proven medicinal values. But history shows just the opposite. Until recently, the AMA viewed chiropractors as competition and tried to destroy the practice of chiropractic medicine in its entirety. When healing becomes a crime, Kenny Acevedo writes, for over 12 years and with the full knowledge and support of their executive officers, the AMA paid the salaries and expenses for a team of more than a dozen medical doctors, lawyers, and support staff for the expressed purpose of conspiring overtly and covertly with others in medicine to first contain and eventually destroy the profession of chiropractic in the United States and elsewhere. Now, this was not speculation. The actions taken by the U.S. Court of Appeals Seventh Circuit support Acevedo's accusation. And in 1990, chiropractic doctors Chester A. Wilk, James W. Bryden, Patricia B. Arthur, and Michael D. Pettigo won a landmark antitrust lawsuit against the AMA. The court ruled that the AMA had violated the Sherman Act by conducting an illegal boycott in restraint of the trade directed at chiropractors generally and at the four plaintiffs in particular. This 1990 verdict against the AMA followed three other antitrust cases against the association in 1978, in 1980, and 1986, all of which were settled. The fact that the AMA tried to eliminate the profession of chiropractic is fairly well known in the medical community, but there are other skeletons in the AMA's closet that aren't as well known. That's when I ask you, have you ever heard of Morris Fishbein? The University of Chicago Center for History of Science and Medicine is named after him. He was editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association from 1924 to 1949. Oh, and he was a racketeer, too. Fishbein apparently operated the AMA for the sole purpose of dominating medicine and discrediting anything he could not control. He also masterminded a scam where he determined what products were fit to carry the AMA's seal of acceptance and then accepted money from the manufacturers of those products in exchange for permission to use the AMA seal. But in reality, the association had no facilities in which to conduct tests of foods or drugs to evaluate their so-called fitness. Gaining the seal was merely a matter of paying Fishbein shady advertising fees to feature the products in AMA publications. I wonder if the Clinton Foundation took their ideas from this guy. Those fees were in fact protection fees paid to keep the AMA membership. And as editor of JAMA, Fishbein had full control over what information reached the public and what did not. Thanks to Morris Fishbein, you most likely haven't heard of the Rife Beam Ray. How many of you have heard of Robert Raymond Rife and the Rife Beam Ray, folks? It is a holistic treatment for cancer and infectious diseases. Fishbein single-handedly stifled its research when he learned of the technology. Now, sadly, the research was suppressed by medical authorities under the covert direction of none other than Morris Fishbein, who sought to buy into and control the use of the Rife Beam Ray. Now, that was written by Richard Gerber, the author of Vibrational Medicine. Fishbein, who was later convicted of racketeering charges, was spurned by Robert Raymond Rife, the creator of the beam ray treatment, when he attempted to buy into his company. And in response, Fishbein decided that if he could not control the therapy, well, he would suppress the therapy. And although Fishbein's legacy is tainted with corruption and his misuse of an agency the public trusts, he is remembered by many as the AMA's spokesman for medical orthodoxy, which advocates sticking to what is commonly accepted, customary, or traditional. Take the case of Hoxie Cancer Clinic in Dallas, which was the first world's longest private cancer center in the 1950s. Harry Hoxie, the clinic's founder, was a self-taught healer who treated cancer patients with herbal folk remedies that proved amazingly effective. A Dallas judge ruled in federal court that Hoxie's therapy was comparable to surgery. Radium and X-ray in its effectiveness, without the destructive side effects of those exact treatments. That was written by Dr. John Heinerman in Natural Pet Cures. Hoxie faced unrelenting opposition and harassment from a hostile medical establishment. But even his arch enemies, the American Medical Association and the FDA, admitted that his treatment could cure some forms of cancer. Despite the court's approval of Hoxie's treatment, the Dallas clinic was shut down in the 1950s at the end of the McCarthy era. The AMA and the NCI, the National Cancer Institute, and the FDA organized a conspiracy to suppress a fair, unbiased assessment of Hoxie's methods, according to a 1953 report to Congress. But that was all in the 1950s. Surely the AMA has improved with time, right? Well, perhaps not. According to a 1998 article in the New York Times, the AMA paid Sunbeam Corp. $9.9 million to avoid a breach of contract trial with the company after pulling out of a five-year multi-million dollar endorsement deal. The AMA would have made millions of dollars in royalties by endorsing Sunbeam's blood pressure monitors, their humidifiers, and other products, but the association backed out of the deal after being criticized because it had no plans to test the products. The AMA had basically made a profit-making deal to endorse products they had no plans of testing beforehand. The AMA only pulled out once the public got wind of the deal. Now, does this situation sound familiar? It sounds a bit, well, Fishbein-esque, if you will. Although Fishbein's Seal of Acceptance program was abandoned in 1955, after a lawsuit was brought against the AMA, it was settled out of court, much like the Sunbeam suit. And after the settlement with Sunbeam, the AMA said it was now fully focused on its historic mission to serve America's patients and the quality of American medicine. What then had been its focus before the Sunbeam settlement? Was it making money? Was it controlling what medical information is fit to reach the American public? Despite the fact that the AMA is stated to be a nonprofit association, it nevertheless has a troublesome history of focusing on money and control. Even its longtime campaign against chiropractic medicine appears grounded in money-making motives, since the association was attempting to eliminate orthodox medicine's competition, if you will. And today, the AMA boasts that its core purpose is to promote the science and art of medicine and the betterment of public health. The AMA further claims only the AMA has the national voice, the reputation, and the stature to be a strong advocate for physicians and their patients. Reputation? For those inclined to place trust in the reputation and stature of the AMA, just take a look at the association's history. And in doing so, you will find an organization operated with questionable ethics. And even today, the AMA continues to make decisions obviously designed to protect organized medicine, not the patients. For example, the AMA is right now engaged in the following actions: refusing to support the ban of direct-to-consumer drug advertising, a dangerous phenomenon that is partly responsible for the vast overprescribing of prescription drugs that are right now killing over 100,000 Americans each and every year. Also, continuing to support the prescribing of antidepressant drugs to children. Even though such drugs are now clearly linked to violent thoughts and suicidal behavior and have been banned from use in children in the UK. Also, continuing to accept tens of millions of dollars each year in advertising funds from drug companies whose products dominate the pages of the Journal of the American Medical Association. Many of the drugs advertised in JAMA are, in fact, the very same drugs that are right now killing tens of thousands of Americans each year, according to senior drug safety researchers at the FDA. The massive funding of the AMA by drug companies creates a clear conflict of interest. Judge Getzendanner ruled, he said, I conclude that an injunction is necessary in this case, talking about AMA and Fishbein. There are lingering effects to this conspiracy. The AMA has never acknowledged the lawlessness of its past conduct and, in fact, to this day, maintains that it has always been in compliance with the antitrust laws. The AMA was forced to circulate the contrite order of injunction through medical journals, hospitals, and many other outlets, and to cease and desist from obstructing the professional rights of the chiropractic profession. The conviction marked the third time in the century that the AMA was found guilty of antitrust violations for conspiracy and restraint of trade. The Medical Association was first convicted in 1937 under Dr. Fishbein for trying to destroy an autonomous doctors group applying cost-cutting health delivery and insurance in Washington, D.C. It was again found guilty in 1982 by the Federal Trade Commission, a decision upheld by the Supreme Court, just as the earlier conviction was. This time, the verdict confirmed the AMA's decade-long systematic violation of antitrust statutes. Cigarette manufacturers Philip Morris, the journal's biggest single advertiser, also ran into some problems. Blitzing the AMA Journal and 31 state and regional medical journals, the startup tobacco company was eager to publicize its innovative use of diethylene glycol as a hygroscopic agent to retain moisture in place of the glycerin used by other manufacturers. Philip Morris pegged its campaign on hyping the breakthrough that its cigarettes were consequently less irritating to the throat. When the corporation approached the journal with its ads, Dr. Fishbein courteously advised it how to go about conducting acceptable scientific testing to validate its unsubstantiated claims and thereby qualify. The cigarette manufacturer was eager to link its product with health benefits, and Dr. Fishbein saw a vast new opportunity for revenues from non-medical products, despite the fact that by this time in the 1930s, medical journals were already publishing studies associating smoking with lung cancer. The company completed its testing at the Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons with findings that the cigarettes with diethylene glycol caused three times less swelling than other brands. The company used these studies to launch its medical ad campaign while supplying free smokes to doctors. One journal ad read, patients with coughs were instructed to change to Philip Morris cigarettes. In 3 out of 4 cases, the coughs disappeared completely. When these patients changed back to cigarettes made by the ordinary method of manufacture, coughs had returned in 1/3 of the cases. This Philip Morris superiority is due to the employment of diethylene glycol. The AMA was also composed almost entirely of male doctors, and there were many swipes at women in Fishbein's writing. It is interesting from a sociological point of view that nutrition and herbalism were opposed, in part because they were associated with women. For example, Fishbein considered eclecticism the apotheosis of the old grandmother and witch doctor systems of treatment. It arose out of the medical practice of an old woman herb doctor, herbal remedies built up over decades of careful observation, and they were mockingly derided as veritable vegetable soups. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'll continue with this. I'm going somewhere, folks. Stick with me. ¶¶
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Yeah, herbal remedies built up over decades of careful observation were mockingly derided as veritable vegetable soups. Fishbein considered anything traditional in medicine to be abhorrent. He saw the botanical drugs of the late 19th century as almost a replica of the herbals of the 17th and 18th century in Europe. Of course, the vast majority of phytochemicals now known to reside in plants and herbs, many with unique physiological effects, were undreamed of in Fishbein's day. And to put it colloquially, he was simply blowing smoke. While the AMA was successful in eliminating most competition, Fishbein became concerned and then obsessed by the worst cancer quack of the century, Harry Hoxie. One of the landmark days in the recent history of alternative medicine in the United States was August 27, 1987. On that day, District Judge Susan Getzendener found the American Medical Association and 14 associated parties guilty of waging a conspiracy against chiropractors to contain and eliminate them entirely. In violation of the Sherman antitrust law, the 14 litigators probably cost the AMA at least $15 million. Now, Fishbein's early success combating quackery revealed to him a gold mine of limitless possibilities. In rapid-fire succession, he cranked out three books, Fads and Quackery, Medical Follies, and the new medical follies. As one reads the rolls of facures down through the ages, Fishbein gleefully penned, and I quote, "One becomes almost convinced of the doctrine of transmigration of souls," unquote. Fishbein also utilized the devil theory of history, as one observer put it, exemplified by his quackdown. In Medical Follies, he dubbed the profession of chiropractic a malignant tumor, whose theory was so simple that even farmhands could grasp it. It has been said that osteopathy is essentially a method of entering the practice of medicine by the back door. Chiropractic, by contrast, is an attempt to arrive through the cellar. The man who applies at the back door at least makes himself presentable. The one who comes through the cellar is besmirched with dust and grime. He carries a crowbar, and he may wear a mask. Under Dr. Fishbein's direction, the AMA Bureau of Investigation's quack files swelled to a prodigious 300,000 names. Even the American Medical Association was complicit in suppressing results of the tobacco research. In 1964, the Surgeon General's report condemning smoking, however, the AMA refused to endorse it. By the 1950s, the Hoxie Cancer Clinic in Dallas was the world's largest private cancer center, with branches in 17 states. Born in Illinois, the charismatic practitioner of herbal folk medicine faced unrelenting opposition and harassment from hostile medical establishment. Nevertheless, two federal courts upheld the therapeutic value of Harry Hoxie's internal tonic. Even his arch enemies, the AMA and the FDA, admitted that his treatment could cure some forms of cancer. That Dallas judge ruled in federal court that Hoxie's therapy was comparable to surgery, radium, and x-rays in its effectiveness, without the destructive side effects of those treatments. But in the 1950s, at the tail end of the McCarthy era, Hoxie's clinics were shut down. The AMA, the National Cancer Institute, and FDA organized a conspiracy to suppress a fair, biased, or unbiased assessment of Hoxie's method, according to a 1953 report to Congress. The campaign was wildly successful and established Philip Morris as a major tobacco player until in 1937, 72 people died as a result of using a drug called sulfanilamide masingil. With help from the AMA itself, the toxic agent was determined to be diethylene glycol. And Dr. Fishbein hit the ground backpedaling. He defended his advertiser in the editorial by saying, and I quote, "There is no evidence that the ordinary use of diethylene glycol in industry or as an ingredient in the manufacture of cigarettes is harmful," unquote. The company was so grateful that it offered him a retainer for his services, which he refused, tipping his editor's public health hat. Other cigarette manufacturers quickly followed suit in their entry into the medical market using physician testimonials. "More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette" was the slogan at Camel's exhibit at the 1947 AMA convention. Got a bottom of the hour break. Coming back, we'll continue with this. See you on the other side. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's ANGIOPRIM.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yeah, I remember those days. I can remember as a little kid watching that little boxy TV, black and white, and I remember the ad. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. I can remember seeing the doctor in his white coat, you know, with his little tag on the front, smoking a Camel cigarette. Even my own doctor, who at that time, back in 1954-55, made house calls. I can remember his name, L. Kendall Small. He was a doctor for the Oakland Raiders, believe it or not, further in his career. But yes, more doctors smoked Camels than any other cigarette was the slogan at the Camels exhibit in the 1947 AMA convention. Only in the 50s, when overwhelming evidence of the causation of lung cancer by smoking reached the public, did the journal finally stop accepting tobacco ads. Though Dr. Fishbein was by then serving as a paid consultant to the P. Lorillard Tobacco Company. Through its members' retirement fund, the AMA continued to own tobacco stock even or in the seven figures up until the mid-1980s. A nonprofit organization, folks, 501c3 nonprofit, seven figures of stock up until the mid-80s. Numerous physicians complained of other high-pressure tactics from Chicago Dr. Star White, a respected physician who lectured extensively to doctors and reputedly had the largest private practice in the country. Described how two doctors from AMA headquarters approached him with a proposition. The AMA could not survive on membership dues alone, and without the income secured by him, the association would undoubtedly flounder. Him, I'm talking Fishbein. The key to financial solvency for the organization has been its monthly publication, the AMA Journal. That was begun in back in 1883 by Dr. Simmons as a last-ditch effort to save the infant association from bankruptcy. Its first press run was 3,500 copies and sold at a subscription rate of $5 per year. But it was anticipated that the bulk of the revenue would be derived from advertisers. And by 1973, 90 years later, under the tight control of managing editor Dr. Morris Fishbein, it had a print run of almost 200,000 copies each month and had extended its publication list to include 12 separate journals, including the Layman's Monthly. Today's Health and others. Altogether, the AMA now derives over $10 million per year in advertising, which is almost half of the association's total income. Who advertises in the AMA Journal and related publications? The lion's share is derived from the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association, no surprise there, whose members make up 95% of the American drug industry. The National Council Against Health Fraud is widely considered the unofficial propaganda arm of the American Medical Association. After a federal court ruling that found the AMA and other medical organizations had conspired to disseminate misinformation about chiropractic in an attempt to destroy its competition, the NCAHF became the front man for the attack. When Dr. Morris Fishbein took the stand, get this, folks, under cross-examination, the digging done by Dr. Hoxie's lawyers paid off. Under oath, Dr. Fishbein, this guy, this guru of the AMA, right? Dr. Fishbein made some shocking admissions. He failed anatomy in medical school. He never completed his internship before going to work at the journal. He never practiced a day of medicine or treated a single patient in his entire career. Dr. Fishbein was sweating profusely by the time he left the stand. His definition of a quack, as one who pretends to medical skill that he does not possess, now reflected back in a very unseemly mirror. Now, one may ask why no one has heard of the Rife Beam Ray. It's not Robert Raymond Rife, it's Royal Raymond Rife, if I recall. The Rife Beam Ray, if it had such a high success rate in treating cancer and infectious diseases, sadly, the research was suppressed by medical authorities under the covert direction of Morris Fishbein, a powerful editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, who sought to buy into and control the use of the Rife Beam Ray. And Fishbein, who, by the way, was later convicted of racketeering charges, was spurned by Rife when he attempted to buy into his company. In response, Fishbein decided that if he could not control the therapy, well, he would suppress it. The American Medical Association has just been convicted in federal court of a conspiracy to destroy and eliminate the chiropractic profession. The court judgment was unequivocal. For over 12 years, and with the full knowledge and support of their executive officers, the AMA paid the salaries and expenses for a team of more than a dozen medical doctors, lawyers, and support staff for the expressed purpose of conspiring both overtly and covertly with others in medicine to first contain and eventually destroy the profession of chiropractic in the United States and elsewhere. Also convicted with the AMA were the American College of Surgeons and the American College of Radiologists. Historically, this was a period in which the AMA had recently established its hegemony over American medicine. It was headed by Morris Fishbein, a pugnacious physician who was to make himself infamous in the eyes of many advocates of unconventional cancer therapies for his attacks on Gerson, Hoxie, and other pioneers of unconventional therapies. And it is no surprise that Fishbein, faced with congressional hearings inimical to conventional cancer treatment and AMA hegemony, went on the attack. The details of the process by which the AMA destroyed Gerson's professional reputation have been described by Ward and others. Gerson lost his hospital affiliation and was denied malpractice insurance. The journal, AMA Journal, after all, solicits advertisers to pay top dollar for its pages, whose 750,000 circulation still commands the greatest market share of doctors, including 15 international editions in 150 countries. The lure of advertising profits continues to complete the impartiality of scientific medicine. The AMA medical publicity machine Dr. Fishbein founded is running in perpetual overdrive today. The Journal of the Medical Medical Association report, a video news release, goes out weekly on satellite to every TV network and local station in the United States, reaching between 25 and 110 million viewers. Most major newspapers routinely scan JAMA for breaking stories, as do wire services and radio. The AMA also floods about 2,500 press outlets worldwide with weekly emails and faxes. The credibility of the AMA's vaunted code of ethics, which ostensibly puts the profession of healing above business, in its tatters today. In 1998, the AMA once again was mired in negative publicity as the seal of acceptance experienced its latest devaluation. After the AMA granted the Sunbeam Corporation an exclusive product endorsement for the manufacturer's medical devices without even testing them, the medical association was set to receive millions of dollars in licensing fees, which it planned to use to offset declining membership dues. Outrage from the medical community and other competing companies crashed the nakedly commercial transaction, and the mass media roasted the AMA's signature cupidity. The historian Harris Coulter, Ph.D., has called eclecticism a more sophisticated system of practice drawing on the same intellectual and philosophical sources as Thomsonianism. However, they had no systematic theory or diagnosis of pharmacology and basically accepted allopathic medicine systems, substituting their own vegetable cures. Regular and eclectic physicians competed for the same clients and generally despised each other. JAMA editor Morris Fishbein called eclecticism the apotheosis of the old grandmother and witch doctor systems of treatment. He championed chemotherapy and denied any utility to herbs whatsoever. In 1912, 1921, and 1936, the AMA issued three volumes called Nostrums and Quackery. These described the evils of patent medicines, which a few years before had been mainstay of the Journal of the American Medical Association Review. In 1927, Morris Fishbein, the editor of JAMA, issued a popular book that included the Encyclopedia of Cults and Quackery. Fishbein saw cults everywhere, and it is amusing that he even considered beauty parlors to be part of the medical cult phenomenon. And he filled page after page with descriptions of cults from arrow to zonotherapy. The appeal of these bizarre, is strong even to enlightened men, wrote the enlightened Fishbein. To a public educated to a belief in the black art, magic, alchemy, and the miracles of the saints, the unusual necessarily has an absolute fascination. Medicine is the way to become inordinately complex and chaotic, and Fishbein and his colleagues set out to make medicine simple and well organized by centralizing everything under the control of the AMA. They especially aimed at the destruction of eclecticism and its heirs. This set the stage for the great battle of the 20th century concerning herbs and cancer, the Hoxsey saga. And throughout Hoxsey's era, organized medicine denied any link between diet and cancer. As Dr. Morris Fishbein contended, there is no scientific evidence whatsoever to indicate that modification in the dietary intake or food or any other nutritional essentials are of any special value in the control of cancer. Science has since contradicted him. In general terms, contemporary research has shown that the Hoxsey diet does directly serve important anti-cancer functions. Over the years, Fishbein not only established himself as a gifted editor of the most widely read medical journal in the United States, he also learned how to extend his editorial position, how to project his opinions nationwide. He became, as the saying went in those years, a personality. Time magazine referred to him as the nation's most ubiquitous, the most widely maligned, and perhaps most influential medico. In addition to his development of JAMA as an editorial and personal voice, Fishbein also continually railed against such quackery. In a brief 20 years, the AMA came to dominate medical practice through brute financial force, political manipulation, sound familiar, folks, and professional authority enhanced by rising public favor with scientific medicine. The AMA emerged as a supreme arbiter of medical practice, making binding pronouncements regulating even the most piacoon details. American medicine surged forward as a profit-driven enterprise of matchless scope, and by the time Dr. Morris Fishbein assumed the mantle of Dr. Simmons, who had himself started out as a homeopath, the AMA was at the helm of a strapping new industry flying the allopathic flag. The code word for competition was quackery. When Royal Raymond Rife's discovery was mysteriously burned to the ground, Rife was dragged through the California court system on trumped-up charges. So powerful were Fishbein's connections to major medical groups of the day that many doctors who were successfully using the Rife beam ray had to cease their use of it for fear of being blacklisted. Because the Rife beam ray was suppressed by these greedy, unscrupulous people, the cure for cancer was buried and nearly forgotten. And it turns out that Royal Raymond Rife was not the only researcher experimented with using this electromagnetic field device to treat cancer. Fishbein's crusade to eliminate the irregulars played no small part in the AMA's financial success by throttling economic competition. While member dues accounted for half of the AMA's revenues, the balance flowed from the journal, now the most profitable publication in the world. Flush with revenues, it soon became known as the tail that wagged the dog. In addition, the journal owned or controlled another half dozen medical journals, along with 35 state society journals, with advertising revenues of over $2 million, a huge sum in those days. The AMA's core mission of preserving the power, the privilege, and financial prosperity of doctors had established it as an organization notorious for confrontation, ultimatums, and hardball politics. 17 is Political Action Committee, AMPAC, has given over $100 million over the last 20 years to 83% of federal congressional representatives and senators. The AMA actually owns the very building in the nation's capital that the government leases for its Federal Political Actions Committee monitoring program. Morris Fishbein became a lot more to the AMA than his title of managing editor would suggest. He was its chief executive and business manager. He brought in the money and he decided how it was spent. His investments on behalf of the association were extremely profitable. So the grateful membership could not, or at least dared not, complain too bitterly. One of the reasons for this investment success was that over $10 million of the organization's retirement fund had been put into leading drug companies. Is that any surprise to you folks? Now, why did I share that with you? Well, this shows you what's been going on for a long time. It was way back when the allopath, they decided that, you know, they wanted to manage the disease. They didn't want to cure anything. All right. And there was a whole lot of money to be made in this. Look at what's happening now. If you go into a hospital and you know, somebody tells you you've got the dreaded disease cancer, they've got the radiation, the chemotherapy, that is as enormously expensive. Anything that you get done anywhere in this country anymore is just so inflated, it's absolutely absurd. And this has been by design. But I said all that to say this, that oh, gosh, it was about, I'm thinking maybe a month ago or so, I had read an article, almost a month ago, I had read an article out of Republic Broadcasting's website, that holistic doctor that was gunned down outside an organic restaurant in Colorado as the war on natural health continues, this was a shooting. And as I read through further, I realized that over the last year or so, year and a half, there's been 60 holistic doctors or chiropractors, people in alternative medicine that have mysteriously died or been suicided, or it's been called a suicide, died under strange, mysterious circumstances, some of them. But an article by Amy Goodrich, the pharmaceutical world will do everything in its power to protect its cash cow. Anything that stands in its way will be eliminated in just over 1 year. More than 60 Ballistic doctors and researchers have been found dead, most of them in suspicious circumstances. Christopher Bailey King, age 49, is the latest holistic doctor to be murdered in cold blood. He was eating at the farm-to-table restaurant Bramble and Hare when he was approached by a man named Louis Joseph Sebastian, age 32, and he was shot dead on Memorial Day. Just before he got murdered, Dr. King was arguing with his killer. Then they went outside, and Dr. King got shot. Now, according to the police, more shots were fired when they went back into the restaurant, and though the investigators have not said what the killer's motive was, it is more than obvious in which direction should be looked. Christopher Bailey King of San Marcos, California, was a well-respected physician and a researcher who focused on the connection between diet and disease. Sound familiar, folks? He's the founder of Dr. King's Clinic in California and worked at Slimgenics. And according to posts on his Facebook and LinkedIn pages, Dr. King had previously traveled to New Zealand to work with Maori tribes and planned on returning in June to continue his work with them. I hear the break. We'll be back in three. I'll continue with this. Stick around.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply, and of course the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. After the horrific event, Dr. King was rushed to the Boulder Community Health Foothills Hospital, and unfortunately, help came too late, and he died from his injuries. The Daily Camera reported Louis Joseph Sebastian is currently being held at the Boulder County Jail without bond. At present, it is not known if the men knew each other or what their relationship was, if any. In a hearing set for August 7th, 2017, a judge will decide whether there is enough evidence to continue to hold him without bond. Interesting. So was this self-defense, or was it premeditated murder? Well, according to the quote published in the New Zealand newspaper, both men were invited to a party by different guests. However, Leah Larkin said she accidentally invited King, thinking she was inviting a friend with the same name. Nonetheless, he was a welcome guest since they had previously hooked up, the woman explained. And even though the 32-year-old made him uncomfortable, Gary Reeves was the one to invite Sebastian to the venue. And according to Gary, Sebastian often talked about interactions with the mob while flirting with one of the guests. Sebastian said he believed men needed to be macho and aggressive to win over the attention and affection of women. And around midnight, the guests started to head downtown for food and drinks at Bramble and Hare. King and Sebastian got into an argument, allegedly about politics, according to the official reports. And when Sebastian suggested taking it outside, witnesses then heard gunfire, and King stumbled into the restaurant where he was shot in cold blood. Now, before more damage could be done, a chef and former Marine ran out of the kitchen and disarmed the shooter. And according to the Boulder police, King was shot four times in the ribs, the chest, and the shoulder. And though Sebastian later claimed self-defense, if he gets convicted of first-degree murder, he could face a life sentence or even the death penalty. Dr. King has done so much for the world with his holistic research and writings and will be missed by his family, his friends, and those who have worked with him. Was this an unfortunate chain of events with a deadly consequence, or did Sebastian plan the argument and murder ahead of time to shut up Dr. King? This is still an open case. He's still in jail. There's a hearing coming up August 7th, and they're asking for more information regarding this if anybody wants to come forward with a tip, and they're leaving phone numbers in there for it. But this is only one. There are 59 others, folks, and they all connect, or possibly connect, with another question. The reason. What possible reason could there be why all these holistic doctors are being found dead? So the question is, does it have something to do with GCMAF? And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. But it is a fact learned way back in elementary school. I want you to digest this, folks, because we're talking about Hoxie, we're talking about Royal Raymond Rife, we're talking about those people that were ostracized, vilified, taken through court, humiliated, probably died broke, I don't know, okay, because of this Morris Fishbein guy who headed up the AMA. But it is a fact learned way back in elementary school that the immune system plays a critical role in helping the body resist and fight disease. Yet that simple fact has become the link in a growing controversy that includes everything from accusations of quackery to conspiracy to commit murder. Top of the hour break coming up. Be back in two. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. More to come.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.